Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
Last night, if you remember, there was a party at Benny Puller's, and I met that Hooper man. The man who told me Harry Palmer couldn't possibly have gone to the hills by train that day, as he and Angela Tennant said. Well, this evening I asked Harry about it. And he finally owned up that actually Angela Tennant had driven him there and he'd lied because she was in love with him and he hadn't wanted me to be jealous. Oh, honestly, I don't know whether to believe him or not. And apart from that, dear old Uncle Tressida just came home. He'd been sitting watching the cricket all day and it's been frightfully hot and he's not at all well. I called Dr. McIndoe and he's just seen Uncle Tressida.
Ah, can I sit down for a while, Marcia? I think you and I should have a little talk. Has your uncle ever said anything to you about his health?
Not before this evening.
That's the trouble. They never do. He's close on 70, a big, heavy man, Marcia, and now's the time we have to watch out.
Yes, but Dr. McIndoe, there's nothing seriously wrong with him, is there?
Not organically, my dear, but your Uncle Tressida simply must take things easier from now on. I'd like to see him cut out his golf, cut out his brandy, and hand the affairs of his firm over to a younger man entirely.
Oh, this is awful. It's stupid, I know, but he's always been so strong and energetic and, well, he's always there, so much in command.
No reason why he shouldn't be for another 10 years, if he does as I say. What about pulling your weight and laying down the law to him?
Well, I might be able to make him stay away from the firm.
That'd be a step in the right direction. Who'd take over for him?
He mentioned Harry Palmer. Have you met him? He mentioned Harry only tonight. The idea's already there.
Well, that's something. I'll call in tomorrow morning after church and we'll have a yarn, the three of us. I don't suppose there's any chance of you taking him away for a while, is there? A sea voyage would be the ideal thing.
There might be an excellent chance.
Oh, splendid. Well, my dear, not much more I can do tonight. I have given him something to make him sleep. Oh, by the way, Palmer, was it, the chap you just mentioned?
Yes, yes. He's an account executive with the firm now.
Oh. I was thinking of Jeff. I've known you long enough to say this, I hope, but isn't there any chance of, well, you and Jeff,
No chance at all, Dr. McIndoe.
I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, well, Marcia, I'll be making a move. But remember, I don't want to frighten you about your uncle, but his condition could turn out to be serious. Anything out of the way in excitement or exertion, and I wouldn't like to say what might happen. So whatever you do, keep him quiet and reasonably still.
Oh, yes, I will.
Good night, then, Marcia. And my regards to your aunt.
Well, I must say, Master, I feel fit as a fighting cock this morning. I don't care tuppence what McIndoe says. Hang it, son. I want to get up.
Oh, no, no, please, be a dear. For once, you're going to do exactly as you're told. And anyway, Harry will be here this afternoon. I want him to know we have to look after you.
So to impress Palmer, I have to stay in bed, eh?
You're staying in bed because Aunt Harriet and I say so.
I don't know what the world's coming to. Ah, well, just this once, then. And it's a fine state of affairs, and a chap can't spend the afternoon watching the cricket without being treated like a damned invalid.
I can bring Harry up when he gets here, then?
Good idea. I want to talk with the fellow. I've been thinking this morning. Palmer's capable. No two ways about that. I'm wondering if we shouldn't start moving him up in the firm a bit, so that he could take over from Fleming, you know. If the worst comes to the worst.
The worst isn't coming to the worst. But Dr. McIndoe said you had to keep away from the firm more. And I know you've said time after time Percy Fleming wouldn't be worth much as your managing director if you weren't there to look over his shoulder all the time.
Neither he would. Percy's a nice chap, but he dithers. He has no gumption, that's his trouble. We'll have a talk with Palmer then. Was that the phone? Listen.
Oh, I'll go. You read your papers. And if you want anything, wait until I come up again. Hello?
Mitchell Mossy, it's Jeff here.
Oh. What is it?
Listen, have you tackled Palmer about those trains yet?
Yes, I have.
Well, what's the score?
Jeff, I've given it a lot of thought, and I can't bear any more of your fantastic rubbish about Harry. You have to stop it.
Do you mean to tell me he talked his way out of it again?
There was a perfectly innocent explanation, and I'm not going to discuss it now or any other time.
Oh, you're crazy. Look here, Master, I won't leave it at this. I must see you.
It's no use. I've listened to you for the last time, Jeff.
If you don't come to the flat, I'll go to your place.
You wouldn't.
I mean it. Make up your mind. I'm not going to let Palmer get away with it time after time. There must be a limit.
You don't have to shout your head off, do you?
Whether you're coming to the flat or not.
Uncle Tressida isn't well, so I suppose I'll have to.
When?
Well, I'll see you tonight, about 8.
All right, I'll be there. Sorry about your uncle. Bye for now, but if you don't turn up, you'll know what to expect.
I'll go this time, but never again. Never. After this, I'm finished with Jeff. I can't stand any more of this obsession of his.
Make yourself comfortable, Palmer. That's a good chap. Did Master say where she was going?
No, she didn't, sir, but she did say she'd be back in an hour, sir.
If you want to smoke, you find cigarettes on that little table.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Bendigan.
Now, look here. Don't take any notice of me being propped up in bed. I never felt better in my life. But just the same, it's high time we started thinking of the future. I want a straight answer from you, Palmer. You very fond of my niece?
Yes, sir. Fonder than I could possibly say.
Are you planning to marry?
Well, I'll never be happy till Marcia is rid of Pilgrim and is my wife, sir. I don't want to get intense, but nothing else matters two pins to me.
Well, what about your job?
I meant nothing personal mattered, Mr. Bendigo.
Well, that's more or less what I hoped you'd say. You see, Palmer, I'm having the law laid down to me from McIntyre, our medical man, you know.
Yes, yes, I've met him, sir.
And also from Master and my sister. It looks as though I'll have to be counting on taking a back seat in future in the firm. That's making me think.
Well, you know I'll be only too happy to do whatever I can, sir.
Yes. Well, the times are changing, Palmer. Everywhere you look, you see younger fellows holding down responsible positions. Business seems to be moving at a faster clip than it did once. I'm not going to give you a chapter and verse tonight, but I want you to keep your eye on the ball. Understand?
Yes, I think so.
Not only for your own sake, but for Marcia's. I'm having Percy Fleming up here soon. Before long, well, we might have some good news for you.
I don't know what to say, Mr. Bendigo, but I can promise that I'll never let you down.
If I thought you would, I wouldn't be wasting my time talking to you now. But don't count your chickens.
You believe that rot, Marcia? After what Hooper told you and I've told you, you let Palmer call up with a lot of tripe about Angela Tennant being in love with him?
Why shouldn't it be true?
Because Palmer's a chiseling liar. I can see now he always has been.
Why shouldn't Angela Tennant be in love with him?
Oh, give me strength.
Stella Bronson's in love with you, isn't she? You think you're the only person in the world women can get fond of?
That's absolutely nothing to do with it.
Jeff, look what you're asking me to believe. Either you or Harry Palmer embezzled a lot of money. You say it was Palmer, and he says it couldn't have been. All you have against him is that he told a little fib about going to Mount Greenbrier that day. And on the strength of that, you want me to say you've been wronged or something and Palmer's a rotter.
Are you in love with him?
What if I am?
Oh, you blind little fool. I should wash my hands of you and throw you at him.
It mightn't be necessary.
All right, then, go your own way. Get your divorce from me and marry the chap. And when you're standing in front of the altar, ask the parson to say, Do you, Harry Palmer, take Tressida Bendigo and Company to be your lawful wedded wife? Because that's what Palmer will be marrying.
Well, thanks very much. I suppose I'm so revolting, no one but you would have me for myself.
For what you'll be worth one day, Marcia, Palmer would marry Typhoid Mary if she had two heads.
I'm going, and I'm never putting a foot inside this flat again.
Please yourself.
And as for Harry Palmer marrying me for the firm, he doesn't have to.
What are you talking about now?
Uncle Tressida has to retire, and he's going to move Harry up as co-director with Percy Fleming. And soon Fleming will retire, too, and Harry might be managing the whole business.
You're not serious.
Oh, but I am.
So he's not letting any grass grow, eh? All right, Marcia. Pass this along to your thieving chum. I don't care if he marries you 10 times, or if it takes 1 year, or 10 years, or 20. I'll always be just around the corner, waiting for him to make a mistake. Because he will one day, you know. And, Marcia, when he does, well, it won't be much use coming to me. I don't think I'll know you then, Marcia. Shouldn't have blown off steam like that. What does it matter now? Palmer's on the way up, eh? Settling me with a swindle I could take. Grabbing my job I could take. But grabbing my wife, too. That's too much. I'll get you, Palmer.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.